This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, top of the hour to you at 4 o'clock. Rolling into hour number 2 of Gwen and Chris on this Thursday. Thanks again to Mike Bresnahan, Spectrum Sportsnet, talking some fun talking Laker basketball. I'd like to see somebody try and talk about Otto Porter Jr.'s $29 million contract.
I was telling you,
honestly, I can't imagine there are too many people in our listening audience who honestly even know who that is.
Georgetown standout.
I was telling
Chris during the break that when he brought it up, I thought he was going to go down the line of, oh, we got about 7 players that make what Anthony Davis was, but
yeah, no,
instead,
they have a guy.
He brought a comparable player in terms of salary.
Yeah, but not a comparable player in terms of player.
Yeah.
Otto Porter Jr. has played 7 years in the NBA and averaged 11 points a game.
Yeah,
in his career. Who in their right mind ever thought he was worth $29 million? I mean, I believe that's why the Chicago Bulls changed front office people in the last
couple
of years.
That'll get you fired.
Yeah, he's played 14 games last year and only started 9. Like, he wasn't even a regular starter, and he's making, anyway, enough. People don't care. And I mean, I shouldn't care that much, but that's why my team stinks and your team's going for another NBA championship. I mean, that just answers you wonder what these other teams, because, you know, the salary cap, we talk about, everybody, you know, gets upset because, well, the Lakers are going over the salary cap. Well, here's the thing. The salary cap exists
for everybody,
for all the teams,
the same way.
Right. It's not just the Lakers who are allowed to spend that kind of money. So you look at a team like Chicago in this case, and you say, okay, what are they doing with their allotment of money? And that's why you're shaking your head, and that's why they're not in the playoffs. I mean, you know, the Sacramento Kings, they get all that money. They're using it as unwisely, I'm sure, as the Chicago Bulls
are. They clearly are.
And that's why they stink. And the Atlanta Hawks and the New York Knicks and all of these teams that are just terrible every single year, they all get the same money to spend. It's what you do with it. And then you look at the Lakers and they just make, you know. Of course, everything looks like a little smarter move when the player comes to play with LeBron James. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to spend $32 million, Chicago Bulls, why didn't, you know, they should have spent it on Anthony Davis, not on Otto Porter.
It is okay to wait. Like, if you have 32 to spend and you look out there
and there's nobody worth it,
it's not quite, it's okay
just
to wait it out.
Wait till Kevin Durant becomes available and, you know, get him. This is too much talk about the Bulls. We got to get into, you know, this isn't Bulls talk. All right, Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr.
He caught himself right there.
Yeah, I was going to go on.
I'm so proud. We're going down the Bulls rabbit hole there for a second.
Yeah, I was stuck down that thing.
It was good because it was just a little bit of what goes on in your head.
And I wonder about why. And then every year I think, well, maybe this will be the year.
They're going to turn the corner right here.
Right, but it doesn't. It's been a long. And everybody's like, well, you won all those champions. You had some great. No, that was 1998.
That's a long time ago now.
It's now 22 years ago. That's a long time ago. Kylie wasn't even around for any of the Bulls championships.
You mean Tinkerbell?
Who's that?
Your dog's previous name.
No, that's not my dog's previous name. You're going to get a chance right now to qualify for a grand prize, a private VIP pod at the Westgate Superbook, the largest sports book in the world. You're also going to get a chance to qualify for a $250 food and beverage credit. That's one meal for Scraby. And a two-night stay. At, well, you know, you're going to throw the Tinkerbell thing, and then I'm going to take a shot. You also are going to qualify for a two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Legendary Vegas fun. You got to be at least 21 to win. That means you got to win Chris versus the Fans, which starts right now.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Wouldn't it be funny if the first question was, where did Otto Porter Jr. go to college?
You got to turn your mic on there, buddy.
I did. I hit the button.
No, you didn't.
I did. I swear.
Now you did. Everybody can hear you now.
Oh, sorry. I'm yelling into the microphone. The rules of the game are you have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, you move on to the next question or you win. And let me tell you, Chris, Tony dominated the questions yesterday.
Good.
Dominated. Like, good. White.
I had a
out.
Good day. Had a good day.
Usually when you're out, I'm like, okay, good. Phew. Tony's going to be eliminated.
Okay,
like
don't
one
be.
Player.
You don't have to go that far. All right. I see what you're doing there. All right. Do we have a first contestant?
We do. His name is Dan, and he is right here.
Dan, welcome to the
hey,
show.
Happy holidays to you guys. How are you doing?
Yeah,
happy
you
holidays.
Too, Dan.
Happy holidays to
everybody
you as well.
Everybody at
97.3. Very nice, exactly. Dan. You win. Dan, you're a terrific guy. Congratulations.
All right, here we go, Dan. First question. In the movie Waterboy, what is Adam Sandler's character's name?
Bobby.
Sorry? What did he say?
Bobby. Yep.
Bobby? Are we good with Bobby?
I will accept it.
Bobby Boucher.
Bobby
oh,
Boucher.
Wow. I didn't know Chris would know that. You seen that movie, Chris?
Barely, and I didn't really like it. Oh,
really?
Was that funny? It was all right.
All right, let's move.
Football is the devil.
Let's go to question number two, Dan. Josh Gordon, who was recently reinstated back into the NFL, has played for three teams in his NFL career. Name those three.
Boy. That's tough, Dan.
I'm hoping Dan's still there.
Dan, you still there?
Dan, did you leave us?
Oh, Dan left.
Dan left.
He
thought he was eliminated with the Bobby thing.
All right. Well,
wait, Dan. No, well, anyway.
We'll move to our next contestant, Peter. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. How you doing today, Peter?
Doing good, gentlemen. Good afternoon to all of you.
Happy
Peter,
holidays,
welcome to the program.
As well. Here we go. First question. What big city?
What was that?
That was my daughter in the back.
Oh, tell her hello.
What big city do the Florida Panthers call home?
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale.
What?
Is that right?
I was looking for Miami because that's a big city.
Yes, it is Miami.
No, but I believe their address is in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, my goodness.
Hold on.
We have ourselves another
disagreement. They play at the Miami Arena, so that's a great possibility.
Peter, we're going to pass you on this one while we figure it out.
Okay.
He's like, okay, whatever helps.
Question number two.
They play at the Miami Arena. How can that be in Fort Lauderdale?
I don't know why that...
I love giving it to him, so because we're charitable. Go.
What college did Derrick Rose play basketball at?
Fort Lauderdale High.
Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Kentucky. Are you looking for that, too?
That is incorrect.
Oh, no. Sorry, I know it.
Don't say it.
Same
say
colors.
It.
Is Memphis close enough to Kentucky so that he can win?
He's sorry never going to get that. The end of
so,
that.
So, ball don't lie. Ball don't lie.
Peter, sorry.
Technically, they're in Sunrise, Florida.
Well,
that's not full, they Fort Lauderdale
Miami
either,
arena.
But I'm looking, and Fort Lauderdale's next to it on the map.
Wait, hold on.
La Mesa is next to San Diego.
He said it's next to
Minneapolis is next to Paul. They're not the same cities.
Well, it doesn't matter because you won. So.
Oh, Scravy, you are hilarious. He said it's next to it.
I don't
next
want
to it on
win.
The map.
I just want to be accurate.
Let's get to our next contestant, Pete. Welcome back to the show, Pete. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you as well. Here we go. First question. We've asked that one yesterday, so we'll go to this one. What team?
Oh, go give it to me. Give me.
What team did Lawrence Taylor play for during his NFL career?
During his NFL career, Lawrence Taylor, you said?
Yes.
New York Giants.
New York Football Giants.
You're scaring me, Pete.
That is correct.
Of course, there haven't been any baseball New York Giants since 1957, but that's beside the point.
That is beside you. I see you showing off here, though, Pete. I see what you're doing. All right, here we go. Next question.
Also, Lawrence Taylor, great cameo in The Waterboy.
Don't do drugs.
Yeah.
What city does the NHL headquarters call home?
What city the NHL headquarters call home?
Could be Fort Lauderdale.
It's not Fort Lauderdale.
That would be a surprise. New York City.
New York, New York. That is correct. Pete, we move to the final question. Chance to qualify for the Vegas trip.
We got to send Pete to Vegas, man.
What former NBA head coach was hired
head couch.
To be head coach of the Alabama basketball team in 2015?
2015, right?
Yes.
Okay. Former NFL couch or coach?
NBA coach.
Coach Alabama in 2015.
NBA coach. Yes.
NBA, yes.
Robert Horry.
Robert Horry.
Big shot, Bob.
That is incorrect, Chris, for the steal.
I have no idea.
He has no idea.
This is a great question.
The answer.
Are you ready to give up the answer? Or are you?
He has no idea.
Oh, I have no idea. Okay, I don't even know who Alabama's basketball coach is.
Well, there it is. Do we have ourselves a winner? The answer is, Avery Johnson.
Oh, Avery Johnson. Okay. Very good.
Good question, Scraby.
Nice job, Pete. Hang on the line.
Good question.
Scraby will get you info. Well,
Pete, I have all your info. All right. I'll just put you in line.
All right, my friend. Have a nice day.
Thanks
again.
All right. Sorry to everybody on the phone.
Yeah, I kind of tried. I almost gave it. I was trying to give you my son. You guys have heard Avery Johnson talk before. He has a very
distinctive voice.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
We need a whole segment of Tony being Avery Bradley, please.
I had no idea. Had no clue.
All
None.
I remember is that he was the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks.
He was,
and then he moved to Alabama, and he was a commentator.
Is he still the coach
support.
At Alabama?
No, he got fired.
So. Oh, yeah. So
he got canned.
He got canned because he probably had like a 500 record, and that's certainly not anywhere near good enough in the win-at-all-costs SEC. All right, good round of Chris versus – not really a good round of Chris versus the fans today. It's all right. There was about 10 mistakes in it, but other than that,
there was just
wasn't so bad.
One suspect
glaring
question.
Error.
It's right next to it on the map, though.
It is. It's right there.
If you it's in the same state.
Will you guys come over here and look at it in the break?
I know where Fort Lauderdale is in relation to Miami, but the
I've
fact is
too.
It's not Miami.
But, well, it's Sunrise, Florida.
The Miami Arena is
– it's not called the Miami Arena anymore.
What's it called?
Oh, gosh.
You know,
the BB something.
The BB something. That's interesting. All right.
That's interesting.
Well, at least something about that segment was interesting. We'll take a quick timeout, check some traffic. Kelly
Danick. BB&T Center.
Sounds like a sandwich. Oh, no, that's BLT Center.
Man, now you made me hungry.
Gwen and Chris stumbling to the break on 97.3 The Fan with traffic.
.419 on the clock. Chris and I hoping to rebound after that subpar segment we had.
That was one of our best.
If by best you mean worse? then yes, you're right.
Best I mean best.
Yes, we have our NFL pick'em, and I must say...
And this segment's off to a flying start.
Oh,
Scraby continues to push the wrong button.
No, I have two screens, and one of them says insert, which means I can put something in, but I clicked the other screen, so that's why.
Of course. As I was saying, right now I am being absolutely crushed.
Throttled.
In this game. And I just got to wear it. You know, I was hoping that I'd be able to make a comeback like Chris did last year, and it just hasn't happened for me. I'm going to need...
But it doesn't mean it can't.
It doesn't mean it can't. But, you know, I'm about to take on my partner's personality when things like this, I'm going to root for the opposite thing to happen.
You're
going
to root to get blown out even further?
Right. In order for it to be a reverse psychology type of thing.
All right.
And me to make a comeback.
All right. Well, I know that you still have outside hopes of getting back in the score, which I did not post today because last time I posted the score, Scraby thought I was popping off, and all I was trying to do was be informative.
I didn't take it that way. So
yeah. Score is 90-67.
Someone save this man.
You need a big comeback, but the good news about this game...
90-67.
The good news about this game is if you can find an upset on the board somewhere this week, you can make up some ground, and you just got to find an upset. There are some big numbers on the odds lines this week, so let's get into Gwynn versus Chris NFL Pick'em.
Okay, NFL fans, it's time for NFL Pick'em. But not like boring Pick'em like all the other sports radio shows. We see who's the best in Gwynn versus Chris, NFL Pick'em Edition, on 97.3, The Fan.
All right. As Chris mentioned, I am down quite a bit, and I need some upsets to happen here. So let's get it going.
All right. We pick a three-point game, a two-point game, and a one-point game. Not against the spread. But then there's the upset pick. And if you pick an underdog to win and they win straight up, you get that number of points that they are underdog by, which is where Tony could potentially make up some ground.
Chris, is that LT on TV right there?
Hold on a second.
Where, on the left?
Yes.
Is he wearing a wig?
If he's wearing a wig and dark glasses, I can't believe that's LaDainian Thomas.
I can't either.
I just can't believe that he would present himself in that manner.
Is that him? I think that's him, though.
Wild hair, kind of a rasta hairdo.
Dreads going a little bit.
He's got these big old glasses that are reflecting the camera back into his face.
Are you sure that's him?
I'm not sure. That's why I'm literally asking.
I really don't think it's him.
I will check this out. All right, guys,
check that out as we go into our NFL picks. All right, here we go. I'm first this week. We just rotate that, so it just so happens that I'm first.
Are you going to take your squad today?
No, I'm so always so scared to take my squad, even though they're 11.5-point favorites. I'm not going to take the Dolphins because they worry me at all times, especially with Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. He can be a turnover machine. I know that the biggest number on the board is the Chiefs, 14 over the Broncos, but I'm more confident in the Steelers over the Washington football team. Even though Alex Smith's playing well, I don't think that Mike Tomlin is going to let the Steelers play another game like they played yesterday. So for 3 points, I'm going to take the Steelers, actually. I'll leave the other games for you.
Well, then for 3 points, I'll take the Kansas City Chiefs.
You will take them.
Okay. Over the Denver Broncos.
Yeah. I just really love Mike Tomlin. He just strikes the perfect chord. I mean, he doesn't lose his mind.
No,
he doesn't go bananas.
Right.
He doesn't throw everybody under the bus. He just states the fact. We played like a JV team this afternoon, and we have to play better. We can't keep dropping passes and making the kind of mistakes we made. That's the perfect tone to strike, even though you're 11-0, when you win a game like that, because it was an ugly win yesterday.
Even when he's had opportunities to fly off the handle and had good reason to,
yeah,
he usually doesn't. He's pretty much the same guy all the time, and I think that's what I appreciate about him.
Yeah, such a fan. Did you notice also Roethlisberger was asked about the 5 drop passes that his receivers had yesterday, and this was the perfect chance for him to throw his teammates under the bus.
He didn't do it.
And he said, I got to make better passes, easier to catch. I got to be honest with you. Those passes were easy to catch.
He literally hit him in the
chest. But he, you know, instead of throwing his own team, this is how you act when you're a championship team. Yeah. Just message to all you other, you know, athletes out there.
I feel like
there's ways to handle it properly.
I feel like Big Ben, he gets it now. He's a mature guy.
It's taken him quite a bit of time, but I think you're
yes.
right. I think
that's
you're right.
True. It has taken him a while. All right, number 2 point pick. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers over the Philadelphia Eagles.
The Green Bay Packers.
You're over the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm leaving some big numbers on the board.
You are.
Big numbers out there.
I'm gonna go ahead and take your squad, the
You're
Miami
the
Dolphins.
All right, as long as I don't have to take them, it scares me. 11-point favorite. I think the last time they were favored by that many was like the perfect season. You'd have to go back about 30 years. All right, still some 10-point spreads on the board. I feel more confident with Seattle, so I'll take Seattle over the Giants. Even though the Giants are starting to play a little bit better. They're still in the NFC East. How about you, Tony?
Yeah, don't trust Minnesota at all. So yeah. Give me Las Vegas.
Las Vegas Raiders to keep the Jets winless. Raiders got to turn in a little better performance this week than they did last week.
How about your man Adam Gase stepping to the forefront, finally?
To the forefront, admitting that he's the reason the Jets stink?
I don't even think he did that.
He didn't.
He did.
He hasn't done a good job developing Sam Darnold, but then he went on to throw Darnold under the bus after
He hasn't been on the field enough.
He hasn't really been on the field enough long enough for me to really develop him the way I need to. I can't believe Adam Gase still has a job. I cannot believe it.
I can't either.
What are they doing and saying in New York? I mean, they don't. We're soft. We're SOFTTTT here in
SOF capital T.
Yeah, that's us. I mean, New York, they're not that way. All right, there's the 3-point pick, 2-point pick, 1 point. Now time for the upset pick of the week, and this is where I know Tony's going to have to shoot for the moon a little bit to try and get back in the running. I don't have to go that crazy. I just have to find a team that I think is going to pull off an upset this week. And let's see. Somebody's going to pull off an upset. Somebody is somewhere on the board. It's not going to be... I'm calling the Atlanta Falcons over the Saints. I get 3 points if that happens. They're at home. Taysom Hill. Falcons playing a little bit better. I'll leave the rest of them for you. Which one do you like for the upset pick to make up some ground?
Flapping his wings.
Give me the Eagles.
The Eagles over the Packers?
Packers have just been coasting through the season. I just feel like they're due for like a wake-up call.
They might be.
I hope it
and
happens
the Eagles
soon.
Are just like good, bad enough
to where they
can make it happen.
Actually, Carson Wentz is bad. I don't know that the rest of that team's so bad. Everybody keeps making excuses for him.
We might see some Jalen Hurts this week.
They said that last week.
We were supposed to see it on Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
and
then
he
played
two plays.
He played two plays. They went the whole week talking about how they were going to use him, and they ended up anyway. All right, so there's our NFL Pick'em segment for today. Chris is going with Pittsburgh for 3, Green Bay for 2, Seattle for 1. Tony's going Kansas City for 3, Miami for 2, Vegas for 1. Upset pick for Chris is Atlanta. For Tony, it's Philadelphia. And we'll let you know how things turn out. Hopefully, for Tony's sake, the margin will become a little bit closer. Because right now it's, it is what it is. What are you going to do? I don't want to pop off because Scraby's going to get mad, but I just been on a really lucky roll. I mean, I looked back the last.
Listen, you don't have to bite your tongue when it comes. I like trash talking. Like this
I'm not
is,
trash talking. I'm just.
But
this
I'm saying
is,
I'm not going to take. Even if you did and you like doing, I don't take offense.
The last
to that.
8 weeks, just so people know, I'm only here's why I'm throwing this out there, because there's this notion out there that I'm the kiss of death if I pick a team to win a game. I see it on Twitter all the time. Scraby rings the bell. People think that if I make a pick, they automatically got to go the other way. And the last 8 weeks, I'm 23-1.
Are you saying you know what you're talking about a little bit?
No, I'm just saying that I do get some right. I don't pick them all wrong, and I get a little tired of the notion that I'm, you know, not good at picking games. I think I'm pretty good at picking games. I'm not perfect. But anyway, that's the only reason I wanted to throw that out there.
All right, let's get to break. When we come back, will Josh Gordon end up in Scraby's Big Five? He is a big Josh Gordon.
He's got a good chance of getting there.
No, he won't be. But did you hear from RG3 after yesterday's game? Did he say something that could get him into some trouble with the NFL? We'll find out next. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
You know, it's a tough sports day when the biggest game on the board is women's basketball tonight.
NC State, South Carolina.
Yeah, top 10 teams playing in the Jimmy V's Women's Classic tonight, top-ranked team in the nation.
Didn't South Carolina put up like 119 points last
week? I don't think they put up 119. I think that was the margin of their victory last week. What they were doing. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on that. If the number one team in the nation gets in any kind of jeopardy, South Carolina. Meanwhile, we return to the program. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. after a round of Gwynn and Chris NFL Pick'em. And time now to get into Scraby's big moment of the day, which we call the Big Five.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No. Whatever it is, no.
Gwynn and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. The Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
We'll get to the Big Five in just 1 second. As soon as Chris tossed it to the Big Five, I was giving him the no traffic. As soon as it happened, it came through. So here is our traffic update.
Just a couple of things to watch out for. Some TARP reported in the fast lane, southbound 15 before Adams Avenue. Further south on the 15 at Oceanview Boulevard off-ramp, an accident. Couple vehicles involved. Also reports of a crash, Hamishaw Road right at the northbound 125. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, if you have any topics for me in the Big Five, you can send them to me on Twitter and Instagram, at Matt Scraby. You could talk to Chris on Twitter, at Chris LOSD, and you can talk to Tony at Tony Gwynn Jr. Now, Chris, you were doing your game yesterday, so did you get to watch any of the Steelers-Ravens game that was on TV?
I did. I did a little DVR, watched the game later on last night.
Did you actually finish the game?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a tough watch.
I don't have much of a life, so it should surprise you that I would watch an NFL football game if it was on.
Well,
number five.
The quarterback of the Ravens, everybody thought he was going to upset the Steelers and RG3 was going to go riding off into the
sunset. Wait, who's everybody?
Yeah, who is
who thought he was going to upset the Steelers?
Okay, let me rephrase that. You're right. People wanted him to upset the Steelers so that he could go right off into the sunset and have this big win under his belt. Well, he wasn't able to pull it off yesterday, and the Steelers beat them on Wednesday afternoon football. But after the game, he gave some insight into what it's been like leading up to yesterday's game, because it's been crazy for them. They have been canceled, postponed, moved, sitting on the tarmac, all that stuff. Here is RG3 postgame.
This whole process and the delay of the game three times was purely about guys being safe. We understand that this game makes a lot of money, and a lot of guys get paid to play a kid's game for a king's ransom. But at the end of the day, we got to make sure our guys stay safe. And because of this huge outbreak that we had within our team, it does make, you know, to be honest with you, wives, you know, family members, it makes them upset. And it's not about whether or not guys want to play. It's about whether or not where our safety is actually being taken into account. And, I would say that I can't say much more than that because, like I said, it's a setup question. But at the end of the day, you know, for me personally, I got hurt. My wife's upset. My family's upset for multiple reasons. We lost the game, obviously. And we just want to make sure that everybody's staying safe. And at the end of the day, just because you're a football player doesn't mean you're not human.
That was RG3 postgame yesterday, and for one second, I don't think his family cares that the Ravens lost. I just think that they cared that he got hurt, and they were concerned.
That's what he
said.
I don't think
he said. No, he said first and foremost, we lost.
No, I think he was saying it himself. Yes, we lost, but he's saying my family was upset just for the reasons you said.
So I've been
hurt.
Sitting on all this anger since I've heard this for like the past 4 hours.
You need to work on this anger thing for you, man.
We'll talk about my angry scravy a little bit later. The meeting got a little testy today.
Oh, it did.
Tony, you're up first. Let's just ask the question that RG3 posed. Is the NFL taking players' safety into consideration?
Are they taking it into consideration? Yes, they are. I think the argument can be had if it is the number one priority, but I certainly think they're doing the best they can with the premise of playing games and keeping safety. If you can balance those two things, I think they're trying to do it. But I think RG3 is onto something, right? They clearly aren't putting that at the forefront, right? Because you would think there would have been some games canceled, at least one at this point. There's been none.
They're like so proud of themselves that they haven't canceled a game yet, more so than anything I think they've done this year.
I mean, the reality is, we all knew people were going to get sick. I mean, that was just a part of it. And we all knew that going in. Under the circumstances, I think they've been able to do a pretty decent job. I think what's happening now is that, you know, we all expect. This was the reason that baseball was adamant that they were getting done at the end of October. Because they knew if you start moving into November, this was going to be the risk that there was going to be a lot of cases. And I think that's what the NFL is dealing with right now, especially with no bubble.
Chris, what do you think? Is the NFL taking player safety into consideration?
Sure.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I think that's about as serious as they are with it. I think the number one thing for the National Football League is to play 256 regular season games. I think that's the number one thing on their ledger. And Roger Goodell said pretty much that during his halftime interview yesterday.
I didn't get to see the halftime interview.
I did. And he was, you know, Mike Tirico, who's probably paid a pretty good portion of money by the NFL, along with his NBC contract, to ask such easy softball questions, actually threw some pretty decent stuff at the commissioner. And he just gobbledygooked everything. His answers made no sense. Mike Tirico asked him, why did they play the Baltimore game on a delay of five or six days? And why did Denver have to play right away? And Goodell didn't even mention Denver. He just threw a bunch of stuff at there and moved on to the next question and basically said, all we care about is the safety of the players.
On to
no,
Cincinnati.
That's not all they care about. All they care about is playing 256 games and getting a season in. And the NFL players are all in a test tube and are all being asked to go out there and, you know, just see if they can make it. And best of luck to all of them. So that's the way I really truly feel. But selfishly, I'm glad that there's games. But if you want to get right down to the health and safety of players, there's no way the season would be to where it is now. No way.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Number four.
I'm going to set aside my love for the 49ers for this one, guys, and keep this a fair conversation, I promise you. As we all know, Santa Clara County booted the Niners from playing or practicing, so the Niners packed up, moved to Arizona, and now I'm seeing multiple reports about some 49ers players expressing concern about the mental health of themselves and teammates. Head coach Kyle Shanahan met with 20 players last night and asked them to keep an eye on teammates who might be struggling mentally with the Arizona move. He also talked about how the NBA players had a bubble and could interact, but 49ers players can't because they are only together on Zooms and on the field. Since they're not in a bubble, you can't risk that because you don't know that everyone is negative. Chris, is this a case of it is what it is, or do you think these concerns are valid?
Let's go back to the last question. I think the 49ers can be happy and content, and all of those guys that are having any kind of mental difficulty with this just need to understand that the National Football League's number one goal is for them all to be safe and happy and healthy, because that's all the league cares about. So I don't know what the Niners are complaining about.
What? Okay, wait, I'm sorry. I said I had to say fair.
No, I'm being completely ironic here. I mean, is my point.
Okay.
I'm agreeing with them 100%. I can't believe you didn't pick that up.
Yeah, I kind of did.
The fact
did.
Of the matter is the NFL says that all they care about is these players and their safety and their happiness and their health. And the last thing that they care about is that. They care about getting these games in. And if the 49ers had to move to East India, they would move them there to play a couple of games. They don't care.
Long flight.
The NFL just wants to get these games in. They want to say that they got a season in. I think that's Goodell's main goal, and to make sure they cash in on as much money as they possibly can with the stadiums empty. And I think the players' health and safety is far down the list of concerns. So do I agree with the 49ers being a little bit concerned and perturbed? Yes, I do.
I want to know who's on that team of 20 that he met with. Jimmy G's definitely on it. Anything he does is turns to gold. Tony, didn't I say I was going to keep the 49ers?
You did. You did. You couldn't help yourself, though.
Tony, is this a case of it is what it is, or do you think these concerns are valid?
I think the concerns are valid. To me, I know we were joking the last question about the NFL camera, but clearly that is... Roger Goodell, from some standpoint, I feel deserves some sympathy because his bosses are the NFL owners.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's just free-willing and making moves on his own. He could get fired, basically, from the owners if he doesn't do things that they feel are the right thing to do. And I promise you, when every other owner in every other sport was worried about, wow, how much money they were going to lose. Have you heard any of that type of conversation out of the NFL?
Like, no.
To the same extent you heard it in baseball, to the same extent you heard it in basketball?
No, in fact, I even saw that they've sold out of, Fox said they sold out of commercial inventory for the rest of the year, and the Super Bowl is 80% filled with spots.
And Chris, I believe you're the one that told us the NFL has broke even by the time they start the season based off of
television revenue.
Television revenue.
Yeah, they've already broken even or made money even without any fans in the stands. That's always been the case.
If that didn't tell you that it's business as usual, I don't know what will. So I think the Niners are definitely have a beef here, for sure.
I think all the players have a beef the way they've been treated.
You can hear it in RG3's voice.
Honestly, I believe
about.
That they all have a beef, that they're all just being sent out there to, you know, risk their health. Playing every Sunday, but I guess that's kind of the way it always is in the National Football League. Even without a pandemic, they're risking their health every Sunday.
We just happen to be in one right now.
Yeah.
All right, guys, it's conspiracy theory time. We mentioned the other day that Kirk Herbstreit, I don't know why I'm talking like this, said he thought Michigan might use COVID as an excuse to get out of playing Ohio State, and that would lead to Jim Harbaugh possibly being saved from losing his sixth straight game to Ohio State. And Jim Harbaugh's job will be saved for at least one more year. And stemming off of that news, Michigan canceled their game with Maryland that was just supposed to be held this Saturday due to COVID concerns. And it seems like the big rivalry game may be canceled again. Tony, do you think there's any truth to the conspiracy?
No, not on this one. I mean, do we really need a conspiracy at this point? We see what's going on. We see the Big Ten. By the way, wasn't it the Big Ten that had the parents like protesting that they weren't playing?
The Big 12 too.
Big time. No, the Big Ten
was big
on that.
We're not hearing because
originally there wasn't even going to be Big Ten football at all.
Yeah, I know that.
They're basically your commissioner was pressured into having this season.
Yeah, they were late to the party.
What a debacle it's been for the Big Ten. I mean, they've had more games canceled than any other conference. In all football.
A lot of cold weather cities.
You're not hearing the protesting happen in anymore either. Everybody's getting their way, it sounds like. But they haven't been able to play these games. But to answer your question, I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think the virus is the virus. And I believe Big Ten has probably the strictest rules in terms of if you get it,
21
days. Yeah. So I don't know that he needs to have this conspiracy. It just is what it is.
What do you think, Chris? Is there a conspiracy here, or am I just...
It might be luck, right, if anything.
I hope there's a conspiracy here, because I'd love to see Michigan just stick it to Ohio State right here.
I would, too.
Honestly.
Did Kirk go to Ohio State?
He did,
Oh, yeah. Herb Street went to Ohio State. I would love to see Michigan stick it to Ohio State. Look, Ohio State's sitting there right now at the number four spot in the playoff, and their coach and their family members and... you know, fans and people around that program, they were the loudest.
They were.
They were easily the loudest for having a college football season. And it all had to do with because Ohio State had to get into the college football playoff and have their chance at national championship. Life couldn't go on as we know it if Ohio State didn't get their chance. Well, guess what? Ohio State's had two games canceled already. All right? If they get another game canceled somewhere along the line... they're not going to play enough games to qualify for the college football playoff. That's all Ohio State cares about. They don't care about the rivalry with Michigan. They don't care about Harbaugh. They don't care about the safety and health of any of Michigan's players or any of their own, for that matter, or their coach, who was...
Did he have it?
Yes, he's got it, and can't wait to get back out on the field. Look, Ohio State mentally is... just coming at this from the totally wrong angle. And so I'd love to see Michigan stick it to them and not be able to play that game. But no, I can't go as far as to say there's a conspiracy that Michigan is doing it on purpose to try and get out of taking a butt whipping. Because that's not Jim Harbaugh's mindset.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's just not – Jim Harbaugh's far too competitive for that.
I would say crazy.
So
yeah, he would take a fat L going on the field as opposed to doing it this way.
Yeah, I just can't see Harbaugh doing that. But I hope that Michigan can't play him. I hope Michigan State can't play him this week. And I hope Ohio State finishes 4-0 and outside the playoffs and crying about being in the playoffs from now until next season.
That would be
apropos.
The Steelers' defense is on pace to do something no NFL defense has ever done. It's called the Defensive Triple Crown. Didn't even know this was a thing. But it is a thing. Yeah. The Triple Crown for an NFL defense is the most sacks, most takeaways, and fewest points given up. Heading into Week 13, the Steelers' defense leads the NFL in these categories. Most sacks at 41, most takeaways at 23, and they've only given up the fewest points in the NFL, 188. So... Chris, you're up first on this one. I have two questions, but you guys choose what you want to answer.
Okay.
Do you think they're going to do it? That's question number one. Number two is it more impressive to be the first to do something or the latest to do something?
All right, the Dolphins factor into this in both questions. One of the reasons is that the Dolphins are second in the NFL in points allowed behind the Steelers. So... I hope that the Steelers don't do it. I hope that the Dolphins are able to end up winning that category. That would be helpful for the Dolphins, although they still have a game coming up against the Chiefs, and that's going to change their points allowed statistic, I'm sure, dramatically.
Probably.
The other part that the Dolphins have to do with here is the fact that they're the first team and only franchise to go undefeated, whereas the Steelers are trying to become the second and the latest.
Yeah.
So I will always side on the fact of the first team to do it is the better team to do it, not the latest team to do it is the better team to do it. So
Okay. There's
your answer, both favoring the Dolphins, both Homer answers by a long shot.
That's okay. I didn't expect anything less.
There you go.
What do you think? Do you think it's going to happen, A? And B, is it more impressive to be the first to do something or the latest to do something?
I don't think it happens. I think the loss of Bud Dupree is going to be...
That's going to hurt the sack.
A huge
situation.
Loss in terms
of
the numbers. But what was the second question?
Is it more impressive to be the first to do it or latest to do it?
Listen... there clearly, in today's NFL, is far more opportunities to sack the quarterback than there is.
Good point.
As there ever has been in any other point in through the history of football.
Throw the ball.
That being said, I would say that it's probably first. The first is better than being the latest. I mean, shoot, we've had quite a few different records broken here in like back-to-back-to-back years.
That's true. The passing record.
Yeah.
And
so, I mean, you just become.
This particular accomplishment sounds kind of made up to a certain extent. I don't know that anybody was ever keeping track of this in the past.
Yeah, right.
Until somebody looked it up recently and said, hey, nobody's ever led in all three of those categories.
Yeah, isn't that what Willie Mays said? Like, if he knew that they
if
did
he
a
knew
40,
getting 40-40 was like a big deal, he would have done it every year.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
Number one.
The Rose Bowl announced today there will be no fans in the stands this year, and I don't think anyone is really that surprised by it, but it is just another reminder of how much a bummer this whole COVID thing has been. But out of all the sporting events, guys, Tony, you're up first. What is the one sporting event you think needs fans?
I can't say the World Series because they actually had some fans this year more than anybody else.
True.
Needs fans? I would say it's the NBA Finals. I think, you know, because you go to the Super Bowl, it's a corporate event, right? There's no real, like, home...
Bunch of suits.
Fans. It's a bunch of suits.
Yeah, fans are not even real there.
As I said, Major League Baseball, actually, it didn't have full capacity, but they had some fans there, gave you a little bit of feel. But I think it's the NBA Finals. I mean, having home court advantage, going to a certain arena to play, I just think that one has a little more oomph to it.
Chris?
I think the World Cup final in soccer is the one that has to have fans.
That is actually a great answer.
Gosh, I didn't think of that.
And I'm going to tell you why. Because the fans at any crucial soccer match are always far more entertaining than the action going on down on the field.
Second thought, never mind.
Now you're not happy with my answer?
The hooligans in the stands?
Yes, I enjoy watching the fans at a soccer match much more than I do the match itself. So. That's
all
why
right.
I answered that.
That's it.
All right, there goes our big five. We'll come back, reset the table for you. Anything new with the Padres today? A day after they tender Tommy Pham. We'll have the latest on Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.